No, no, let's just do two more.
We'll yeah, two right more. Matthew 5:18.
I mean, two more could be like 40 minutes, guys. Yeah.
It says, for truly I say to you, until heaven and earth pass away. This is Matthew 5:18-20. Not the smallest letter or stroke shall pass from the law until all is accomplished. Whoever then annuls one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do the same shall be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever keeps them and teaches them, he shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. Could you explain these verses?
Absolutely. Jesus came in the heart of the law. He didn't come to take away the law. He came to fulfill the law. So Jesus fulfilled the law. He fulfilled the law in righteousness as a man. What no man could ever do, he fulfilled the law. So here's what he says. He says, what's the greatest commandment? And somebody answers, to love the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, and your strength. Jesus said, and the second, he said, you have answered rightly. And the second is like it. So he marries the first to the second and makes the two one. The second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. And on these two, you can hang all the law and the prophets. So he's not talking about individually fulfilling the law. Jesus did that. He's talking about becoming love because in love, the heart of the law will be fulfilled. You're not going to have to try to break down the commandments and, okay, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do this. When you become love, the goal, 1 Timothy 1:5, the goal of our instruction is love. The purpose of the commandment is love. To know the love of Christ is to be filled with all the fullness of God. When you love God with everything you are and love your neighbors yourself, all things are fulfilled. You're not breaking the laws. Do you get it? If you read Matthew 18 legalistically and start going back to the law apart from the heart of what Jesus accomplished, it's a new covenant and a new testament in my blood. It doesn't annul the heart of the law. The heart of the law is fulfilled in love. Jesus fulfilled it. He took the handwriting of requirements that were contrary to us that were, well, you want to look at that? That's Colossians. Yeah, Colossians chapter 2. I want you to look at this real quick. See, because when people read their Bible in some of this stuff, they slip into legalism and take what he's saying so literally, and they miss the fact that we're in a new covenant, a new testament. It doesn't nullify the heart of the law. But the grace we live by is the grace to become love that fulfills all things. Are you guys with me? Because if you're just trying to fulfill all the commandments, we're back to square one and Jesus is a fool for dying. Come on, he entered us into a new covenant, new testament by his blood through his spirit so we can live in fellowship with him. And all things are fulfilled through his nature and becoming changed. Watch this. You being dead, verse 13, Colossians 2, you being dead in your trespasses, the uncircumcision of your flesh, he made alive together with him, having forgiven you all your trespasses, having wiped out the handwriting of requirements that was against us, something you couldn't fulfill in your own strength, in the fallen nature. Watch. And he has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross. He didn't come to take away the law. He came to fulfill it. Jesus fulfilled what man failed. He fulfilled the law of righteousness. He lived his life and was tempted at all points and never sinned. And what was impossible to live in the flesh, he did by the Spirit, died and entered us all into life in the Spirit. In a new testament, new covenant through his blood, where love is the fulfillment of all things. Are you guys following me? How many individual laws is it? 638? 600 and how many? 30 some. Yeah, it's 600 and some. He's not talking about you getting a list and sticking to it. You'll find that when your heart sincerely becomes love and you're walking in fellowship with God, by the sheer instinct of a changed life, of life in the Spirit, of the nature of love, you're going to walk in these things and understand these things. You follow me? And as you're reading your Bible, communing with God, or sitting under preaching, Holy Spirit, your own conscience, and the pure heart in you, if there's anything that needs sharpened or changed, you'll know it. You'll go, whoa, wait a minute. And because your heart's been pure and because you've grown in love, you're not going to get in denial and hide and say, oh, man, I don't want to know where to find that out. You're going to say, wow, God, that is so not who I'm called to be. Man, I don't even ever want that in my life again. Thanks for showing me that. Wow, you're growing me. Thanks for increasing me. That's how simple this thing should be. Are you guys following me? So he nailed it to the cross, having disarmed principalities and powers. He made a public spectacle of them, triumphing. He took away the law of sin and death. The law of the spirit of life in Christ has made us free of the law of sin and death. He who knew no sin was made to be sin so we could become right in the sight of God. You're not trying to fulfill individual commandments. You're living from the place of righteousness where you've been made right with God. You get it? His heart to do that shows you his first love. It causes you to begin to love, understand, and trust him. Now you have a relationship. Now you're empowered. Now you're growing and maturing. Does this make sense? It's the best way I can understand it and explain it in my own heart. So he wiped out that requirement thing. He nailed it to the cross, making a public spectacle of the powers and principalities that operated through him. You're called to reckon yourself dead to sin, alive unto God. He took away that thing. The law of sin and death has been destroyed from the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus. You get that? It's really exciting to me. Like, he cursed sin in the flesh. You have to understand, he didn't curse his son on the cross. He made his son to be sin and cursed the problem. Anything hanging on a cross or a pole has been cursed by God. What was he made to be? Sin. So God cursed sin in the flesh. And sin shall have no dominion over us. Yay! Unless you eat of his flesh and drink of his blood, you by no means have life. What's it saying? Unless you understand and partake of from a sincere heart and faith what he accomplished and what he purposed and what he did through the communion and the understanding of giving yourself in covenant, how are you going to walk in the blessing of what he's done? Unless you see it and believe it. Did you get it? Yeah.